live from the Nashville Sports Radio Studios. This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show. Call Johnny now at 844-5600 and online at WNSR.com. And now, here's Johnny.
And welcome to hour number two, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Zach Williams making sure everything runs great. A little bit later this hour, around 5:35, Eric Bacharach, the Titans beat writer for the Tennessean, will be a part of the show. But right now, formerly with the Nashville Banner, now a show host there in Birmingham on the TV show The Zone in Birmingham on ABC 3340, contributor to the Montgomery Advertiser as well, Doug Segrist joining us at this point. Doug, hope you're having a good Tuesday. Welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks, Ballpark. Good to be back.
All right, so we start with what transpired on Saturday afternoon, and boy, it just seems like we go back to last year in the Alabama-Tennessee game, and Tua Tagovailoa goes down with a high ankle sprain, and you know, when we watch the opening kickoff with Jaylen Waddle, and you know, I'm really surprised when we watch how that play developed, how and that we don't see that happen more often as far as in college football or football for that matter in general. It just seems like all the time you're seeing legs rolled up on. And I knew as soon as he was being brought down that that was not going to be good.
Yeah, it's amazing it doesn't happen because, you know, a lot of these athletes are just, they're so fast, they're so lean. And the speed of the game is such now that you're just more prone to injuries in the open field like that. And now this wasn't good. And you're already hearing naysayers saying this kind of knocks Alabama out of the national title race. Not that they can't go regular season undefeated, but once you face Georgia again, because he was a difference maker. He's the guy who kind of helped them blow out Georgia in the second half. And then when they go and face defenses like Clemson and ostensibly Ohio State, that they're not going to have the extra playmaker they need. I still don't think this is as devastating as the Tua injury. I think everybody would agree with that. That just really set Alabama back. It took a couple weeks for Mac Jones really to get going. He's obviously a different quarterback this year. But I do think this is kind of a reset moment for him. You know, next man up, but while they've got plenty of talent, they this guy is a once-in-a-decade playmaker.
You know, with that said, though, you know, we've seen this in recent years. I mean, remember Derrick Henry, his final year, where he took over the offense because, when we think about the weapons the Crimson Tide have now, you know, not as much then, and you saw Derrick Henry just take over. You know, they do have somebody by the name of Najee Harris back there, and who right now is on pace to knock King Henry off the pedestal to become the all-time leading rusher in Alabama history. So it's not like the cover is bare. And you also saw, you know, with Bolton stepping up his game on Saturday, Menzie as well. I mean, so Alabama's is still not hurting with some depth of weapons there.
Well, when you can compare it, I mean, you know, I follow Auburn every week just as well, and they would kill to have just one of extra Alabama's playmakers. They basically got one playmaker. Well, two, now the Tank Bigsby's emerging, but not the depth Alabama has. And that's true. They have not been able to run the ball at will this year. They haven't really needed to. They have been able to close out the last two games on the ground. Najee Harris is a top flight NFL prospect. Brian Robinson is now starting to emerge in that regard. They've got Trey Sanders. And again, let's not forget, Devontae Smith is a first round NFL draft pick who came back for an extra year to improve his status from maybe late round to early round. So, you know, they've got a big threat there. John Metchie is really becoming a go-to guy on the edge. Slade Bolden hadn't caught a pass all year and then goes 6 for 94. So, I mean, the guy can play. So they've got a lot more weapons. But when you're talking about a championship game against the likes of a defense they haven't faced, that's reason for legitimate concern.
You know, one of the things, too, that so far, I mean, I look at the second half against Georgia, and I watch how the Bama defense performed against Tennessee, and you can make the argument that slowly but surely the Alabama defense getting better. One of the part that has not improved is their ability to get to opposing teams' quarterbacks.
They're getting pressure. If you look at the actual pressure stats are pretty good. They're getting hands up, but they're not taking the quarterback down, and that is the biggest reason for concern. But I think they've amped it up. I think the fundamentals have improved a lot, and to me that goes back to knowing what you're doing. And I don't know if they've simplified the defense or if it's just kind of clicked in. But, yeah, the last six quarters they've been phenomenal. And if you really look at it, it was six quarters leading up to that. They were abysmal. Ole Miss in the first half of Georgia. You go back to Missouri and Texas A&M, both of which have fairly explosive offenses at times. They were in control of those games pretty much throughout and really didn't give up much until, you know, they emptied the bench. So they've got six bad quarters, and because of that, we've kind of written everything off. Now, I'm not saying this is a 2011 defense, but they've got a lot of people. They've got one of the best cornerback combos. They're starting to get that push up front. They've improved against the run. I think they're going to get better. Now, how good will they get? That's to be determined.
The Florida Gators, at this point, scheduled to take on Missouri coming up on Saturday night. It'll be their first game in 3 weeks. A Florida team, you know, last time out, they played on October 10th at College Station, losing to Texas A&M. And, I mean, this month has been very hard on that Florida football team. They had to shut down for 2 weeks, 37 positive tests as far as COVID-19, had six more last week. How do you feel like this will impact this Florida team? Missouri, you know, to me, one of the surprises as far as 2020, just how feisty they are and how much fight that they have. You know, they're now 2-2 on the season, and I like what Coach Drinkwith is doing, the first-year head coach out of Appalachian State, who's, you know, took over the Missouri program. This could be an interesting night for Missouri. I see them with every potential possible to be able to go into Gainesville and get a win on Saturday night.
No, I totally agree. And we really don't know who's impacted on the Florida roster because, you know, Dan Mullins hasn't been the most forthcoming on that. We don't know if it's two quarterbacks, if it's four offensive linemen, if it's three of your top six defensive linemen. So we don't know who has gotten sick. We don't know.
And you have to be careful. And look, because of HIPAA laws, you have to be careful and understand that.
Right.
And so not every – I mean, sometimes we get – I know it's confusing for fans because, you know, for example, we know that the Wisconsin starting quarterback is going to be out now for 3 weeks as he's tested positive for COVID-19.
And his backup.
And then you got one of the other quarterbacks is out with, a leg injury, foot injury. So – but some programs, you know, and it's up to the individual athlete to be able to make that, you know, to decide whether or not he wants that out there. But, you know, knowing that he was only missed one attempt on Friday night and that win against Illinois, it'd be kind of strange if all of a sudden you look out and he's not there and you don't know why.
Right, right. And that's the point with Florida. We don't know who's been impacted by this. We also know that they basically missed what would have been a normal off week of practice. And that's huge, particularly when you miss spring. You had a very different preseason camp. You know, again, I go back and say loss of spring football was huge across the board, but especially for a couple programs. Florida, it may not have impacted them as much because they've got a lot of attorneys, but to miss pretty much a full week during the regular season is tough. Now we saw the Titans overcome that, and they actually look crisp in their first game back. I just think this puts Florida at a big disadvantage.
The Auburn Tigers, Gus Malzahn, not once, twice this year, very fortunate to get W's. I go back to the Arkansas game where if there was any video at all showing an Arkansas player recovering, the bad snap and the, here's Knicks trying to down the ball to give themselves a chance to kick the game-winning field goal. The only reason Arkansas wasn't given the ball was because there was no video showing an Arkansas player actually recovering the football. And then we get what happened in the fourth quarter on Saturday in the Auburn win against Ole Miss with just under 6 minutes to go. All indications as far as in slow motion watching the replay, here's Auburn's punt return. It looks like his pinky tips the ball. They never stopped to look at a, a better angle, the slow motion replay. And so the SEC made a sent out a statement last night. A little good it does. And, oh, by the way, they end up fining Lane Kiffin, head coach of Ole Miss, $25,000 for his use of social media after the game, which is in violation of one of the SEC bylaws.
Listen, he knew what he was doing and knew he was probably going to get in trouble, and I understand his frustration. He should be frustrated. He should have also called a timeout to ensure they got a better review of that. And don't forget, listen, Auburn has been the golden child this year because the Kentucky game is a two-point game at the end of the first half, and there's a question whether or not Kentucky scores. It's
and that was it looked like a touchdown. It still is a touchdown in my eyes. So that's right, three games there that easily could have been losses for Auburn.
And every Auburn game has come down the wire. I mean, they could be 0-5.
They could be 0-5. They could be, think about that for a second. They could be 0-5 right now.
Which just shows, I think right now they're a very average team. Now, I think their ceiling is higher. I think they discovered a running game. I think the passing game is starting to click a little better, but it's better when they're not throwing the ball all over the field and they've got some balance and Bo Nix isn't having to carry everything. And I think that's part of the problem they had in the Georgia loss and even in the Arkansas win is that he really had to, or the Arkansas game was that he had to do too much. And I think he's starting to look comfortable. They're starting to make progress. I think defensively, it's not just what we expect from an Auburn defense. They're not bad, but they're certainly not of the caliber we're used to seeing, and that leaves little room for error. So every game is going down to the wire. I see an LSU team that is making drastic improvement week by week, and I wouldn't be surprised if they pull this out by 7-10 points.
Yeah, LSU, by the way, they started the year with that ugly loss to Mississippi State where all of a sudden everybody was looking at one point or another, when's Mississippi State showing up on the schedule? But T.J. Finley, a freshman QB, got the saw the most of the action on Saturday in that game against South Carolina, and a huge 28-point win for LSU. So their record now evened up at 2-2. But here's Finley, 17-21, a couple of touchdown passes. It looks like they're getting their running game together too with Tyrion Davis Price, 135 yards on the ground. And, oh, by the way, Battle of the Tigers coming up on Saturday afternoon down on the Plains as LSU travels to take on the Auburn Tigers. LSU, it seems like they're getting their act together at the right time.
Yeah, and this is just a huge game. It's the perfect CBS window. Again, I think LSU's ceiling is higher than Auburn. So I think Auburn has the potential to be a good team, maybe fringe top 25, but this isn't a championship level team. I think LSU's biggest problem is inexperience, but the roster is just really dotted with a lot of 4 and 5 stars, and I think you're starting to see that even defensively, they've made major improvements. They're by no means a great defense at this point, but you've seen them kind of scale back a little. The players understand it better. They're making open field tackles. And, I see a program that's improved a lot just in 3 week period.
It's really strange. I look at the AP top 25 this week. 9 different conferences, 1 independent representative as far as the 25 teams. The Big Ten has the most with 5, SEC, ACC, Big 12, all with 4 apiece. But we're talking about the American Athletic Conference, Conference USA, Sun Belt, Mountain West, all represented. as far as in the top 25 this week. And it, you know, here's the thing, you know, the four SEC teams are all ranked in the top 10, but that's it. And then only two teams, Auburn and Arkansas, getting votes. So this right now, only six teams either ranked or getting votes of the 14 teams in the SEC.
And listen, the SEC is deep. It's not like the bottom of the league is falling off. It just, you don't have a chance to go out and get a break and play somebody that's maybe not on your level and add an extra win. So you're looking at a 2-3 team that could easily be 6-3 with a normal non-conference schedule and be at least on the periphery of the rankings. And now they're just kind of lost in the shuffle. I would hate to be a voter this year, because how do you really evaluate from league to league? I mean, it has to be eye test, and you're counting on two or three teams per league to emerge and just dominate everybody.
And it's a shame, too, because like BYU this week, they're ranked 11th. I've seen BYU play, and I would love the opportunity to see them go up against some Power 5 conference teams, and not the bottom of the barrel Power 5 either. I think that just from a standpoint of along the line, I mean, I really think that this team could compete, but we'll never know.
Here's what's sad. Had they been able to play their original schedule, you would be able to measure pretty fairly, I think, because their original schedule was full of Power 5 teams and name brand institutions. And had they gotten off the same start, there would be no question where they stood, you know. And now they're playing whoever they can. They've been very dominant. I mean, they just obliterated a Troy program that, you know, that may not resonate in Provo, but it's a pretty good football program. And, you know, I can't remember the last time Troy was dominated like BYU did.
And you have a Cincinnati team from the American Athletic Conference. They're seventh this week. You've got a Marshall and Coastal Carolina, mm-hmm. both ranked in the top 20. Or do they deserve that? You know, my gut tells me no. But, you know, when you think about if you're trying to rank the teams in the top 25, who are you going to put in there? Are you going to include anybody else from the Pac-12 other than Oregon and USC? At this point, no. I mean, is Marshall and Coastal Carolina that good? You know, my guess is no. But, you know, who else are you going to put in? You can't put a 1-3 Mississippi State team or a 1-4 Ole Miss or, you know, or even an Auburn and Arkansas team for that matter, because their records aren't good enough at this point.
And very few of them have a chance to really prove it against out of conference competition. Louisiana got a big break by winning their opener against a Power 5 team, and it paid off. And, you know, I think they're very underrated. You know, they're no longer in the top 25, but they really don't have a chance to prove it again. And that's it. Really, name brand recognition is going to carry the day this year.
And I mean, look, you know, we see Virginia Tech, a Minnesota team, drop out of the top 25 this week. And Virginia Tech is just one of those programs, unfortunately. They, you know, week in and week out, they have been hit very hard, yeah. as far as COVID-19 is concerned. And Minnesota, I mean, yeah, they played one game. They're 0-1. They get beat by Michigan, and I understand it was an ugly loss, but is Minnesota still, to me, one of the top 25 teams in the country? Absolutely.
I agree talent-wise they probably are. I think if you're judging on what you've done on the field, it would be almost impossible to keep them in at this point. They can be back in 2 weeks, but they're going to have to be impressive.
Yeah, I'm surprised Rutgers didn't make the top 25 this week.
I am, too. And keep watching that story, because, you know, he's done it there before, Shiano. And, you know, they have put a lot into this program during the offseason. You know, I think they're finally going to be respectable on a regular basis in the Big Ten.
Yeah, and it brings up the thing, too, and you're seeing it, in fact, this week, is like, what could have been with the Tennessee football program if he was the head coach with the Tennessee Vols?
Well, I look at this Tennessee football program, and, you know, have they closed the gap against Alabama? No. Have they closed against Georgia and Florida? No. And that's I closed the gap. I see a defense that's more fundamentally sound. I see an offense that can do more. However, there are limits on the edge. There are limits at quarterback, and you're only going to solve that by recruiting. But I do see this. I do see this as a better program than it was when he took over.
I will say this, you know, they right now still holding on. They're ranked number 10 as far as their recruiting class, Tennessee is, you know, as far as the 2021 recruiting class. But with that said, you know, I think the natives are getting restless. And, you know, as far as that faith that they've got the right guy, I think there's a growing part of that fan base that wonders if they do have the right guy.
Well, and you start to feel, are we jinxed? I think Tennessee fans have been as patient as anybody. But that patience only goes so far. And, you know, you've got a Hall of Famer back as AD, and you expect the decisions to be good, and you expect improvement to be made. And just from a one-loss standpoint, we're not seeing it.
Well, and you think about Nebraska, Florida State, Tennessee, you know, outstanding traditions with all three of these schools, but at some point or another, you begin to wonder, are we ever going to get it back?
Well, and two of those three have a big recruiting disadvantage. You know, Nebraska is playing in a different footprint now, away from where they used to recruit. The talent throughout Tennessee is good, but not on the level of Georgia, Florida, Louisiana, Alabama. And, you know, those are disadvantages 20 years ago you could make up for it because you didn't necessarily have the consistency from some of the teams you're playing against. And now everybody's recruiting on an elite level and everybody's coaching on an elite level, and it's just much tougher now.
Doug, always a pleasure. Looking forward to visiting with you again on Saturday with our Countdown to Kickoff tailgate show. But until then, I hope you have a wonderful week. And if you're not doing so already, you can follow Doug on Twitter at DSegras. Once again, co-host on the TV show The Zone in Birmingham on ABC 3340 and a contributor to the Montgomery Advertiser as well. But, Doug, have a great Tuesday night. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, Ballpark. Take care.
Thank you. That's Doug Segras joining us. This segment brought to you by friends with Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers. Now not one, but two enhanced experiences. That's what you're going to find. Hendersonville at Circus World and now Murfreesboro in the old Sears building in the Stones River Mall. You know, you're going to get bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment, right? But you're also going to find with these enhanced experiences laser tag, roller skating, bumper cars, time freak, laser maze, and a virtual reality roller coaster. Also, locations to serve you includes Hermitage, Donaldson Plaza, and the Tusculum area. For more information, you can go online at strikeandspare.com. All locations open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
Good afternoon. The police still working that wreck at Bell Road at Morris Gentry Boulevard. That's South Nashville. Harding Place right at the interstate there at I-24 on an accident. OHB at Highway 70 in front of that gas station out on the west side. They're still working that particular accident. Still busy out here on all the major outbound routes. Hey, celebrate autumn this year at Ober-Gatlinburg during Oktoberfest. Now through November 1st, visit obergatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Hi, this is Jay Farner, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. We can help guide you to those right decisions now, when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows. So when you call 8338-ROCKET or visit us at rocketmortgage.com to start your refinance, you'll be well on your way to saving money every month. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.125%, APR 3.43%. Right now could be a great time for you to take some positive financial steps forward with a cash-out refinance from Rocket Mortgage, which could give you the boost that you're looking for. In addition, we may be able to help you refinance with little or no out-of-pocket costs. At Rocket Mortgage, we're committed to every client, every time, no exceptions, no excuses, giving you the best mortgage experience. Call us today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Rates subject to change. Pay 2.875% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
The Klein Preston Law Group in Nashville, a proud supporter of the Atlanta Braves and Southeastern Conference, has over two decades of experience in litigation and transactional practice. Their practice focuses primarily on business law, including business litigation, business structure, and international law. The Klein Preston Law Group has represented clients from state and in federal courts throughout the state of Tennessee to the United States Supreme Court. For more information, go to their website, Klein with a K, PrestonLaw.com.
Want to talk to you about the folks at Doobie Orthopedics, and I know that you're going to sit there and go, Plaz, what do you know about that? And the truth of it is, not much until about a year ago, right about now. I ended up with some really bad shoulder and neck problems, and I had no idea where to turn. A friend of mine suggested Doobie Orthopedics, and you know what? That friend was dead on right. I find out now they've got over 30,000 customers. There's a reason for that. They are really good at what they do. I ended up choosing the Hermitage location, but they have locations all over town. Frist Boulevard was where I was, with a phone number of 391-4545. I got the individual one-on-one attention that I needed. They set up a plan, and you know what? The plan worked to perfection. I highly recommend Doobie Orthopedics.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR Skyscan Forecast. For this afternoon, mostly cloudy skies, highs at around 67 with a light wind out of the north-northeast. Tonight, clouds will roll in with scattered showers, lows going down to about 53 with a light wind. For Wednesday, mostly cloudy with showers, highs at about 68. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Rich Brennan. Sports Radio,
Listen to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show online live at WNSR.com.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Frank's with you along with Zach Williams. 615-844-5600. The Dodgers tonight, game six with a chance to wrap up and win the World Series. Tampa Bay looking to force the game seven. Blake Snell on the mound tonight for Tampa Bay, and the Dodgers will counter with Tony Gosselin. And you go back, and you know this is the third trip to the World Series in the last four seasons as far as the Dodgers. Nothing to show for it. The cheating scandal as far as Houston, and so if you're looking for, you know, if there's justice, then it'd be nice for the Dodgers. Then again, you can think about Tampa Bay becoming the new it-winning city, with the Lightning already winning the Stanley Cup. This run that Tom Brady and Tampa Bay Bucks are doing, if the Rays can find a way to win tonight and win tomorrow, I mean, how strange would that be of all these cities, Zach, where it could be the Tampa Bay Rays, the Lightning, along with the Bucks, all winning their respective league championships?
Okay, I'll give you the Bucks, but let's temper the Lightning, because I feel like maybe like five
They've
places.
Already got it, but look, they already got it though, so give them.
They got it, but like, how many people really knew who was even in the Stanley Cup Finals?
It doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is who was the last team standing this year.
Yeah, I guess. So, or skating.
Yeah, and right now, I mean, remember early on, after 3 weeks, everybody already was anointing either Russell Wilson or Josh Allen as far as the MVP of the league. Right now, if you have to give out the MVP honors as far as the NFL, you know, you'd be hard pressed not to give it to Tom Brady and what he has been able to do with the Bucks.
He's in the list. I mean, there's a literal list going around right now where he's the top of it. But you know, there's still a lot of would-be competitors. Of course, Josh Allen was talked about it, but I think he's kind of starting to fall off a little bit. Ryan Tannehill still has a great case for it, even against a hard Steelers defense. Ryan Tannehill showed up in a game where they needed him, and ultimately gave him a chance to tie it up and on that final drive. So, you know, there was Ryan Tannehill. I think if you're saying Brady's a part of it, I think you got to say Ryan Tannehill is as well. He's just not the sexier name than a Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady.
Well, and I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that, you know, with the Titans last year, they did make it to the AFC Championship game, and here we are with the Tampa Bay Bucks. I think that's why. When you think about what he's been able to do, Tom Brady's been able to do, and putting this Bucks team in that kind of position now, where, you know, I'm not going to go against them right now. I mean, this is a strange year when you think about the AFC side of things and the NFC side of things, where there's you can make cases for four or five teams in both the AFC and the NFC that can make runs for a Super Bowl title this year.
Yeah, I mean, going back to the Bucks,
it's wide open. I mean, it's wide open.
Oh,
it
yeah.
really is.
And going back to the Bucks too, if you look just across the board, they are absolutely stacked, and they were even before the season, right? Before the season started, and everything that moved forward. But if you told us now, going into week eight. That the Tampa Bay Bucks, if you look back at it January, right, or right after the draft, right after the NFL draft, you look at the Bucks and say they're going to have Tom Brady, they're going to have Leonard Fournette, and they're going to have Antonio Brown on top of, and Rob Gronkowski on top of Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, OJ Howard without the injury. I mean, all the people that they have, you would never, the Vegas odds wouldn't even give you a chance at that, probably. They would say, well, no, that would never happen.
And now, if it's any other team, I go, okay, Antonio Brown, no big deal. He's going to be a problem in that locker room. But it's different. I mean, we saw how Randy Moss and Tom Brady got along and played great together. And, you know, Tom Brady, for whatever reason, I think it's a perfect match. And he wanted Antonio Brown to be a part of this roster.
Oh, yeah. And there, you know, this is a guy that wanted him in New England as well. This wasn't just a one-time thing. They really like each other. Antonio Brown has tons of respect for Tom Brady, as he should, and everybody else should. But, this guy slept on his couch. You know, this is something that it's going to be. Look, Antonio Brown, for everything that he's done, right, which is a lot, and you can go through it. I will say, you know, in a world of what have you done for me lately, you have not heard from Antonio Brown in the way that you were hearing from him for those 4 or 5 months. Social media has really calmed down. He's not that same guy right now. It seems like, I don't know him personally, but what it seems like on social media, he's not doing the same things that he was doing before.
Oh, he was going, remember last year, he was going crazy during the football season.
Absolutely. And so this, it really seems like since the NFL said, look, eight-week suspension, you can come back after that. It really seemed like he took that to heart, and he's wanting to come back. And the whole thing is, too, he's been training with NFL players all offseason, Lamar Jackson and a lot of the Ravens. He's walking in. I don't care who's around him, who's covering anything. He walks in as a top five wide receiver in the NFL, and for my money.
And there's only two teams with a better record than Tampa Bay right now, and that's the Green Bay Packers and Seattle. But it's, you know, there's still 9 games to go.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of time, and you can't build enough, right? You can't make sure. You got to make sure you have those pieces for deep into the playoffs, because even today, the finalization of Dez Bryant going to the Ravens practice squad, you know, they did that for a purpose, and that right. isn't just because they wanted to bring Dez Bryant in. That was because they're looking at the future here. They want to get him warmed up, and then eventually going to bring him up to the active team.
And every team is vulnerable. I mean, Packers, you can pick them apart, especially their defense. Seattle, their defense.
Titans.
You can pick them apart.
Titans, very vulnerable.
Oh, so, and that's, I'm just talking about the NFC side
of
things.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah. I mean, there's not a quote-unquote dominant team on the NFC side of things. And on the AFC side, it looks like Pittsburgh is the real deal. And I love that defense. And I think that defense is what separates them. But who knows? Just when we say that, they'll probably end up getting beat by Baltimore this week.
And easily could happen, right? And you got to remember, too, they only beat the Titans by 3 points in a game where Gostkowski really should have hit the field goal to at least give it to overtime.
Yeah, it should have been decided in overtime. Exactly. All right, coming up on the other side, we'll talk some Tennessee Titans. Eric Bacharach, the Titans beat writer for the Tennessean, he's coming up on the other side. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. The police still working that wreck at Bell Road at Morris Gentry Boulevard. That's South Nashville. Harding Place right at the interstate there at I-24 on an accident. OHB at Highway 70 in front of that gas station out on the west side. They're still working that particular accident. Still busy out here on all the major outbound routes. Hey, celebrate autumn this year at Obergatlinburg during Oktoberfest. Now through November 1st, visit Obergatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Hey, Hey guys, it's Zach from Millennial Sports Mornings here to talk to you about Hayes Nissan of Rivergate. They have been serving the Nashville area for more than 28 years with a long-standing tradition of providing outstanding customer service to anyone who steps on their lot. Whether you're looking to buy, lease, or service your vehicle, you can be sure that their team will dedicate themselves to your individual needs. They also offer much more than just legendary customer service. They will help you find the vehicle that fits your lifestyle, personality, and most importantly, your budget. If you like what you hear, then simply call to schedule an appointment at 615-865-7220. Again, that's 615-865-7220. Or you can just stop by at 1550 1550 Gallatin Pike North in Madison and check them out on the web at NissanOfRivergate.com. And look, you can trust me. Not only am I a spokesperson, but I'm a customer. That's Nissan of Rivergate, where your dollar always goes farther.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 of pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-204-0145 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable.
Operators are waiting at 800-204-0145 to take your call now. Call 800-204-0145. That's 800-201-0145. Again, 800-204-0145.
When you're Middle Tennessee's community bank, you have a greater responsibility than just offering a menu of smart financial services. You make it your mission to know your neighbors and meet their needs, and you invest in the people around you, from the new family to the small business. At Wilson Bank and Trust, we're proud to be the kind of institution that's always working to make our great community even greater. Thank you for supporting us in our efforts to serve, give, and grow. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
The George Plaster Show.
It's great. You finally landed in a place where you're going to thrive with the greatest people on sports radio, pretty much.
Weekdays starting at 2.
It's sports talk the way it should be.
The George Plaster Show.
Man, it's great to have you back, my friend.
The George Plaster Show.
This is going to be that much better now with George on afternoons, man. I can't wait, man.
George Plaster. Weekdays starting at 2 on WNSR Nashville Sports Radio.
Sports Radio, WNSR.
Take Johnny Ballpark Franks on the go by downloading the WNSR app. Search your app store for Nashville Sports Radio.
And welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Chance right now to go back to the hotlines and visit with Eric Bacharach, the Titans beat writer with the Tennessee. And Eric, thank you as always, and happy Tuesday to you.
Thanks, Johnny. Appreciate it. Hope you're feeling a little bit better.
Getting there one day at a time. Appreciate all your prayers, too. So major thumbs up, and I really do appreciate your kind words. Here we are coming up this Sunday. The Tennessee Titans are rare meeting with the Cincinnati Bengals. I mean, they've met only three times over the last 13 seasons. The last time was 2017, victory for the Tennessee Titans, but a little bit different scenario with Joe Burrow and company. And one of the things that we can probably expect a lot of passes. Joe Burrow, you can probably go and put it down on paper, is going to be flirting with 50-plus attempts against the Titans on Sunday.
Yeah, I think that'll especially be the case, Johnny. If Joe Mixon, their running back, is unable to go, we'll see where he is. I believe that their coach, Zach Taylor, said that he's day-to-day, so we'll see where he is on Sunday. But I think either way, I agree, safe bet that Joe Burrow is going to be throwing the ball a lot. And you know, it'll be interesting to see how this Titans defense responds to that, because in theory, that could mean a potential get-right game for this Titans pass rush, which to this point has been almost non-existent. You know, especially if you're talking about Jadeveon Clowney, Vic Beasley, no sacks between the two of those guys to this point. You know, the Titans as a team only have 7 sacks, but on the other side, Joe Burrow has been sacked a league high 28 times. You know, a lot of that is you know, a testament to how much he throws the ball. They're struggling line. So, you know, it could be a game where the Titans are able to turn the corner a little bit. It's something that has to change if the Titans have, you know, these Super Bowl aspirations, as their record would indicate, as their offense would indicate, quite frankly. So we'll see if they're able to do that in this game and exploit, you know, a young quarterback that is exciting, but, you know, has been taken down a bunch via the sack.
You know, maybe it's a little bit too easy just to blame it or say one thing about why the Titans are so bad about getting pressure. To me, I still single out the fact Noah Dory Jackson. And one of the ways to improve your pass rush is to have a solid secondary. And you can't just lose one of the top 10 highest graded out cornerbacks from last year and not impact your entire defense, which also means impacting your ability to get to opposing teams' quarterbacks.
Yeah, 100%, Johnny. I completely agree. I've kind of been saying that as sort of a silver lining on the horizon for this Titans defense really all season. You know, Dory has not played yet, and it all goes together. You know, the front end complements the back end, and when you don't have your top corner out there, when instead it's Jonathan Joseph and Ty Smith, you know, being victimized time and time again by Ben Roethlisberger, you know, that makes a difference. You know, we saw in terms of just how quickly Roethlisberger was able to release passes. You know, he was releasing passes at just a fraction over 2 seconds, you know, from the time of the snap to the time of his release on Sunday, which far and away was the fastest time in week 7. I believe Tannehill was next closest at like 2.4 seconds, you know, so quite a distance behind. You know, so when you factor that in, when you factor the secondary struggles in, you know, as sort of lackluster as the pass rush has been, it really didn't have much of a chance to materialize last week against the Steelers with, you know, the secondary struggling, you know, sort of the cushion that Titans cornerbacks were allowing those receivers on those underneath throws, and also the release time of Ben Roethlisberger. All of that, you know, kind of, you know, just lends to the Titans pass rush not really being able to get off the ground. So I think if you add a Dory Jackson back into the mix, your top corner, I think everything on the defense really improves. And I think that could be the missing ingredient as far as, you know, replacing, like I mentioned, guys like Jonathan Joseph, Ty Smith with an Dory Jackson caliber corner. I think that makes a world of a difference, and we haven't seen him out there this season, so we'll see if that's the case. But I totally agree that a player of his caliber, you throw him back into the mix, everything on defense is connected, and, you know, in theory, that should certainly help the pass rush.
You know, one of the areas that we talk about, you know, it's not just offense, not just defense, special teams play a key role. We look at what transpired on Sunday. Obviously, what really sticks out is the missed field goal that could have sent the game into overtime that Steven Gostkowski missed. You think about some of the bad snaps with Bo Brinkley. You think about what transpired with Brett Kern, who I still thought could have been able to get that punt off, for example. But,
right.
You know, areas that are usually that you feel like you can count on, except from the kicking standpoint, all letting the Titans down this past weekend.
Yeah, it's something they have to clean up, Johnny. And it was, you know, mostly uncharacteristic, aside from, as you mentioned, that the kicking woes from Steven Gostkowski and obviously just the Titans field goal kicking in general. But, you know, how often do we see Bo Brinkley bounce a snap? How often do we see Khalif Raymond muff a kick, kickoff return? You know, that just hasn't happened a whole lot, you know, these past couple of seasons. And then you had a couple penalties. You know, Darren Bates had a holding penalty on the Titans' opening possession kickoff. And then you had, you know, Ray McLeod returning a long punt return. You know, so just the Titans really shot themselves in the foot on special teams. And that's an area that, again, besides field goal kicking, had been really consistent and really something they could lean on up until this past week. You know, I think we were talking about, you know, Chris Milton and even Bates, you know, just a lot of playmakers on special teams that the Titans were using. you know, to win the field position battle, which, you know, has been really crucial in a bunch of these games. And, you know, against the Steelers, somehow they were able to keep it a close game in spite of sort of failing in a bunch of those areas. So, you know, I think it was uncharacteristic. I think those are correctable mistakes, but, you know, it's something that they have to correct. And if they can, they should be in better shape in some of these close games.
I mean, through 2019, Stephen Gostkowski ranked fifth in NFL history as far as field goal percentage, over 87%. You know, a four-time Pro Bowler, three-time Super Bowl champ, and we look at these struggles, and that's the part that's, you know, mystifying. And how long will Mike Vrabel be patient with Gostkowski as the kicker?
Yeah, that's the key question, Johnny, and it's hard to say. I mean, the follow-up question to that is, you know, who would they replace him with? You know, who's a better option than him? And, you know, prior to the Texans game, you know, he obviously missed those first three kicks of the season, but he had proven, if anything, you know, that he had the clutch factor, that the pressure situation didn't faze him in any way, obviously, with three game winning kicks in the first three games of the season. You know, he even in the Texans game when he missed those two field goals, he was able to hit the extra point to send it to overtime. So he had been unfazed by that big moment, which is big for a kicker. That kind of goes out the window with the Steelers game and the 45-yard miss. So, you know, that's the question. You know, I don't know if there's a better answer out there. I don't know how long the leash is. I think, you know, unless he comes out this game against the Bengals and misses another couple field goals, you know, I don't know what the backup plan would be right now. You do have Tucker McCann on the practice squad. You know, he looked okay in training camp, but, you know, Gostkowski has that experience. It really just seems, honestly, Johnny, that the Titans are just totally jinxed at this position. You know, it's kind of funny looking at Ryan Succop in Tampa Bay, seeing that he's 11 for 13 this season. You know, after he was 1 for 6 last year, the Titans go 8 for 18 on field goals last season. It really just feels like no matter what they're going to do, they're going to end up snake bitten. But as far as the leash with Gostkowski, I still think it's a game by game thing. You know, because he is a Hall of Fame kicker who just obviously is not in Hall of Fame form right now.
You know, no Taylor Lewan the rest of the year. Where's the confidence level that Ty Sambrello, manning that left side with Roger Saffold, that they will be able to get it done?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's really no replacing Taylor Lewan, but, you know, I think Mike Vrabel's comments about Ty speak volumes. You know, asked about him yesterday, Vrabel said that if we could continue to get that effort from Ty that we got against the Steelers, we're going to be just fine. And, you know, that's high praise, especially considering the opponent and, you know, how good the Steelers are at applying pressure.